thank you. We know there's some folks that are here. We know there's a lot of folks watching online still. Maybe you're a part of the vulnerable population and you feel the need to stay home. Man, we're glad you're tuned in. Always tune in when you can't be here. We're glad you're leaning in, not laying back. We would ask that if you can, please text us and let us know. You can text the number that'll be on the screen later and it will start a dialogue with you. We want to know about your visit. If you're visiting online, if you're watching online, share it on Facebook. Right now in this day and age, Living Sent sometimes begins with a click, a share click, right? Where you can share it. It'll go in your algorithm. People that'll see it, maybe tune in. Maybe you're one of those people. So share it if you're watching. If you tuned in because of that or for whatever reason, text the word connect and to the number that will be on the screen, and it will direct you to just get some dialogue, give us some information. We want to know you're here. You can also do that if you're in a building, okay? We don't have hard copy bulletins we're passing out anymore, so if you'll text connect, that would be awesome too. Man, we're glad you're here. It's awesome. We've been in a series for the last few weeks called This Changes Everything. Our hope is that Rona does change everything by awakening the American church in general and bringing some much needed changes that will lead to kingdom growth, be a catalyst for kingdom growth. We've been outlining these changes for the last few weeks. We talked about how we hope and pray that Rona helps us see the importance of the church gathering. Also the importance of the church scattering, or as we like to call it here at LifePoint, Living Sent. Right? Taking the gospel outside of the building and living sent in your neighborhoods and in your workplaces and schools and scattering with the gospel. We've talked about how we hope that we see the importance of generosity. We've already seen the importance of that today. We've also talked about the importance of authentic biblical community. Last week, we outlined how that Rona has already changed how we really want to organize to care for our people. We love the fact that you've been contacted and we want to continue that. We don't want to go back to just hearing from you when we need some information or you need something. We want to know how to pray for you, how to minister to you. We want to, as the Bible says, weep when each other weeps and rejoice when you rejoice. We want to do those things. And so we're going to set aside deacons, probably at least 100 at this campus alone. We're going to set them aside at our local campuses that will, their job will be, they'll be assigned families. They will contact these families so that we can always know what's going on in your life. And so, man, we hope that Rona changes a lot of things, and we could go on talking about all the changes we hope she brings about within your life, within our churches all over America. But today, we're going to close it out. Next week, we're going to kick off a new series going through some Psalms, and Travis will talk about it. It's called Songs for Life, and that'll sort of be our summer series through the month of July. And as we close out today, though, what we want to do is I want to talk about a significant change that I hope takes place. I hope that Rona literally changes the eternal destiny of hundreds or thousands of people as it changes our attitude about finding life and living sin. Now, the coronavirus has increased a lot of things over the last several months. It's increased tension. She's increased unemployment. But one thing she's definitely increased is she has increased our vocabulary. There's words and phrases that just flow off our tongue today that we didn't even speak or even maybe even know just a few months ago. For instance, we have the words epidemic and pandemic etched on our brain now, right? I mean, an epidemic is when a virus or a disease is spread rapidly among a large group of people in a specific population or region. Now, that's what happened with Rona. She was epidemic for a while in one region until March the 11th. March the 11th, she got promoted from epidemic to pandemic. Pandemic is when an epidemic goes and gets a passport and goes global, okay? And that's exactly what happened with Rona. She went global on and was declared a pandemic on March the 11th globally, right? Another term is flatten the curve. I mean, man, we've heard of flatten the curve, and we didn't use that much prior to a few months ago, but we've heard flatten the curve. You know, we were told in the beginning that The problem wasn't, or the fear wasn't people getting the virus. It was a lot of people getting it at one time, which could very possibly overwhelm our healthcare system, our hospitals. And so rather than people getting it one time like this, we were asked to flatten the curve. And how we flattened the curve was another term called social distancing. That's a term we had never really used before. Social distancing means that we increase the space, decrease the contact between people in an attempt to slow Rona's roll, right? And so lately we've heard a lot about the fatality rates too. I mean, fatality rates, the fatality rate is a term that describes the number of people who die from a disease compared to the number of people who have the disease. Now, Rona's fatality rates have been all over the board, right? They've been all over the map. In the beginning, we were told that they would be drastically high and they're all over the board because one, the media's attempt to control us by fear, and two, because literally, admittedly, they have counted very liberally just about if somebody has died in the last 3 months, and it cannot be proven with evidence that it was something, a gunshot wound or a car wreck or something, it was credited to Rona, right? And so, therefore, we have no idea or no way to gauge what Rona's fatality rate actually is, right? But lately, we've been hearing another term, antibodies. Antibodies are blood proteins that the immune system creates when an invader hits your body, like a pathogen or a virus. What happens? Your immune system responds by creating these blood proteins that go to war against that pathogen or virus. And here's typically, if you have an antibody of that virus or pathogen within your body, like a coronavirus antibody, what happens is that means that your body has mounted a response, and in theory, you should not be able to get that virus again. You should be protected, right? So we've heard all these terms. We could go on with all of these terms. We could talk about community spread, on and on and on. But what I want to do simply today is I want to take some of these terms that I've mentioned, and I want to talk about, with these terms, another virus. I want to help you to understand and get your mind around another virus that's much more lethal than coronavirus and every other virus since the beginning of time until now, all through history combined. Okay? I want to talk about another virus that is 100% fatal. Now, we've heard from the beginning, we've heard how crazy, lethal Rona is and how crazy contagious that she is, right? I mean, as I said, even with counting everything as a Rona death, the rates started out at being three to four out of every 100, we were told, people who got it would die. Now they're really probably below one in 100 in America, which means here's the fact. Rona is lethal to some vulnerable people. We know that. We know that. But if you get it, let me give you a perspective maybe that when you, because what happens is the whole focus of the entire media world is focusing, let's focus on this one person who dies rather than the millions who don't, and it controls us by fear. And so here's what I want to help your perspective to understand is this, that if you do get coronavirus, you've got an over 99% chance of survival. Well, man, that's different. Not too much different than the flu. And we have a vaccine for the flu already. So it's not too much different. And 80% of the people who get it will never even know they got it. It's just a little different perspective. Here's what we know. Rona is lethal to some people. Lethal to some people who get it. And we don't necessarily know why. People, some vulnerabilities, immunosuppressants. That's why we have folks on some vulnerable people, right? I miss our senior adult population as a whole. Some of you are here, but as a whole, I miss some of those folks and, families with small children. And so there are some people who are vulnerable, and it does some crazy things to some people, and we don't necessarily know why. And so it's good to be safe. I understand that. But with all of that being said, whether it's the fatality rate is 1% or 3% or whatever it is, here's what I want you to know. There's another virus whose fatality rate is 100% lethal. 100%. Everyone who has it dies. It's called the sin virus. And it is 100% lethal. Everyone who has it dies. And it doesn't just kill your body, it kills your soul. And you see, Adam, when he got the sin virus, he died eventually physically. we will all die. Every person watching online, every person in the room, we will die unless Jesus returns first. For what we believe about what the Bible says, every person will die. It's 100% physical death because of sin. Okay? It is the result of sin. That's not the world God created. A world, the creation was a perfect world. We die physically because of sin, but Adam immediately died spiritually because of sin. Okay? And so it's 100% lethal. And here's the thing about the sin virus. It's not an epidemic. It's not just in a region. It's not just people in a region. It is pandemic, meaning that it is global. And it's not just for a season like the flu. It doesn't come and go. It has ravaged the world since sin entered into human history when Adam and Eve bit the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, let me go back and read to you in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man saying," and the Lord God commanded the man saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it," look at what he says, "you shall die." Okay, so God created a perfect world in which there was no death. There was no virus. There was no pathogen. There was no fear. There was no shame. There was no sickness. There was none of that. It was a perfect world. And God said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but there is a tree in the garden, in the middle of the garden, that you cannot eat from. When you do, notice how he says it, when you eat from it, you will. When you eat, not if, when you eat, you will die. It brings death. It brings physical death and it brings spiritual death, separation from God. You see, in creation, Adam and Eve had this absolute, beautiful, perfect relationship with God that was unhindered by anything. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was nothing that kept them from approaching God. They didn't, feel like God was distant. They were communing with God. That was the perfect world God created. But sin, he said, would bring death, spiritual death immediately, physical death eventually, right? And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible is clear that the sin virus results in death. 100% of the time, it is 100% fatal. Now, here's the question is, what is sin? Because sometimes I think we think of sin and we're really thinking of sins. You say, well, Pat, isn't sin and sins the same thing and all that? And let me try to explain. The Bible describes sin as any transgression against God. Sin is when we rebel against God. And that is exactly what Adam and Eve did. But if I ask you, when did sin begin? Most folks, even if you grew up in church, would say, you know what, it began in the Garden of Eden. I would tell you that the Garden of Eden was not the genesis. It wasn't the beginning of sin. Sin, the genesis or the beginning of sin happened when Lucifer rebelled against God. Lucifer was probably one of the, if not the, most beautiful and powerful of angels that was created by God. But he was not happy and satisfied with his position. As a matter of fact, he desired God's position. He treasured God's position more than he treasured God himself. And that's what sin is. Sin is when we treasure God's position or when we treasure God's creation more than God himself. And so Isaiah chapter 14 describes how God cast Lucifer out of heaven because of his transgression, his rebellion, right? And then Genesis 3 describes how he brought that into human history when he tempted Adam and Eve with the basic same temptation, and that temptation was to desire God's creation more than God and God's word himself, to tempt Adam and Eve to rebel, to transgress against God and desire something more than God. And that is the root of sin. You see, sometimes we think of sin and our mind immediately goes to actions that we commit, or it goes to misuses of God's creation. For instance, we can think of sin as a misuse of God's money. God has given guidelines for money. When we're not stewards, that's sin. But God also says the love of money is sin. Not money itself, but the love of money. Our attitude about money can be sinful. It's a misuse misuse of money. We can say, you know, a misuse of sex. God created sex and it's beautiful. We see Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed. We see Adam and Eve and they were absolutely in a godly, beautiful relationship, and an intimate relationship was a part of that. It's beautiful in the way God created. We see sex and we say, man, it's a misuse of that sex. It's sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage between a husband and a wife. And so we can look at it as a misuse of power. And those are sins. The root of that, those sins is sin. That's why God can take away our sin, and we do still commit sins. The root of that is a heart that transgresses God and God's holiness and God's word. It is rebellion against God. It's desiring something more than we desire God. And that's what sin is. That's what Adam and Eve did. And that's what we do. And here's the thing. It is 100% faithful. It's 100% faithful fatal, lethal. It kills 100%. It brings immediate death spiritually, right? I mean, it brings death. And we've also heard of the transmission rates that Rona is crazy contagious, haven't we? It's contagious. And it's very contagious. That's why we were asked to social distance, to flatten the curve. And I understand that totally. And here's the thing. There are measures that you can take with coronavirus to protect yourself. There are measures that you can take that greatly decreases your chances of getting Rona, right? I mean, for instance, here's what we've heard. I've heard recently that first responders, the transmission rate to first responders is a lot less and lower than the general population. Now, when I heard that, that's counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, you're thinking first responders. These are guys and gals that are on the front line. I mean, you're sick, they respond. They're in public, they come. They come running, right? I mean, these men and women are first responders into sickness and to mess in the world. They should get it more than anyone, right? But we're told their transmission rate is lower than the general population. Why would that be? You think, hold on, why? And what we're told is that it's because of the use of masks and gloves, right? So they use masks. Obviously, masks prevent, from getting the coronavirus. Or not 100%, but they decrease your chances. I almost wore 5 masks today. All right, now let me tell you why I almost wore 5 masks. Because this week, Philip Fulmer come out and said, hey, if you want to do your part to help football season happen, wear masks. I said, I'll wear 5 if football season will happen every day, okay? And so, obviously, my point is this. Coronavirus is lethal. Don't make no mistake. It does damage on some very vulnerable people, okay? It is contagious. It's easily transmitted. But there is a disease called the sin virus that's 100% fatal, and it is so contagious that everybody has it because your mom and dad passed it to you at birth. Your moms and dad passed it to you at birth. You were born with it. There is no way to avoid it, okay? It's 100% fatal, and every person's born with it. I mean, folks, that's not good news, is it? And it gets even worse. There's not a vaccine against it, just sort of like Rona. You know, our medical professionals and scientific world is working hard. They're working hard to come up with a vaccine. You know, we've got vaccines. Some of you take the flu shot. Yeah, it's a vaccine against the flu. It doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu, but what it means is it gives you some protection. It helps your body maybe. It gives you a little bit of it. It helps you fight it off, and you've had vaccines against a lot of things. A couple of our staff members, during our shutdown in our country, so to speak, and, you know, they come down with this disease or whatever called shingles. If you've had shingles, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't had it, you don't want it, all right? It's something to do with chicken pox and all that kind of stuff. But here's what they found out. Now, I know is there's a vaccine for the shingles. If you're over, like, the age of 30, you can get a vaccine for the shingles. This old boy's going to get the vaccine, all right? I don't want it. All right, now I know that doesn't mean I'm not going to get it, but it helps me decrease my chances. There is absolutely no vaccine for sin. There's nothing you can do to not get it. There is literally nothing you can do to God. It is 100% faithful, fatal, not faithful. It is 100% fatal, and there is 0% because Adam passed it down to his sons, Cain and Abel, and they kept passing it down to everyone, including me and including you, and there is literally nothing that we can do. Here's what Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so listen, we've all sinned. The sin virus is 100% fatal. It's 100% contagious, and it 100% of the time results in death. That's bad news. Thank you for watching today. It's horrible news. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. It's horrible news. And there's no vaccine to keep you from getting it. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And what I hope this does is help you to understand this virus is lethal, and that these terms can help you maybe understand the gospel because there is no vaccine, and that's horrible, but there is an antidote. That's great news. You know what a vaccine does? A vaccine sort of helps you maybe not get it. There is no vaccine. You got it. You're born with it. It's 100% contagious. It's 100% fatal, lethal, and you have it, and there's no vaccine, but there is an antidote. You know what an antidote is? An antidote is a cure. An antidote is something that you take if you got something that cures it. And here's the great thing. Here's the even better news about the antidote. When you, the antidote, you don't have to file your insurance, or you don't even have to pay a copay to get it, because Jesus has already paid it. The antidote is Jesus, and he has already paid the price for our cure. You know, thank God Jesus didn't social distance or quarantine. I mean, if you're a believer, yeah, you can clap. Thank God that Jesus didn't quarantine himself or social distance. He entered our world. He lived among a sin-sick people. He breathed the air we breathe. He ate the food we eat so that he could provide the cure. So that he could provide the cure. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. And as I read these three passages, let me help you to understand something. I think this is the context you need, the foundation to understand these verses. You see, remember, sin is 100% contagious. It passes down from mom and dad to son and daughter 100% of the time at conception, not at birth, okay? It's not, well, it's at conception, it's not at birth. You are conceived with it. That's what David said. I was a sinner at conception, at my conception. That's what David said. When I was conceived, I got my mom and my dad's DNA, and I got the sin virus at conception, okay? Now, so we're born with it, and it's 100% fatal. Here's something about Jesus that you need to understand, what allows him to be the cure. Number one, he's God, but he was born of a virgin. I was not born of a virgin. You were not born of a virgin. Only Jesus. He was born of a virgin, which completely did not transmit the disease, the sin disease, and inherited as you and I inherited it from our parents. Not only was Jesus born of a virgin, Jesus never committed sin. You see, people all the time are like, the virgin birth. How can a virgin give birth? I mean, that's a miracle. But let me tell you something that blows my mind more than a virgin giving birth. It's how a man could live without sin, right? Now, he wasn't just a man. He was the God-man, but he lived 33 years without committing sin. He never thought a thought that was evil. He never said a word that I say when I hit my finger sometimes, or stub my toe, or, you know, he never said those words. He never thought a thought he shouldn't have thought. He never did anything he shouldn't do. Never committed one sin. He wasn't born with sin like you and me. He never committed sin. It says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he, God the Father, made him, Jesus the Son, to be my sin and to be your sin, who knew no sin. He did not know sin because he was not born a sinner like you and I, and he did not commit sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hang on to that term, righteousness. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. Bottom line is, we're told by Paul in 2 Corinthians, he writes to the church and says that Jesus knew no sin. He was not born with it. He never committed a sin, so that he, for our sake could pay the price and be the cure for our sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says that he, Jesus, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5 says, you know, this is how John states it, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. So how does he take away sins? And in him there is no sin. How does he take away sins? By paying the price, right? And so the only way that he could pay the price for our sin is to pay the wage of sin, which is death. And the only way his death would cover be the antidote, the cure, cover the wages of my sin was if he was completely sinless. A sinful man couldn't die for my sin. He couldn't even pay for his own sin, let alone mine. So he had to be completely sinless, born of a virgin, no sin. At birth, no inherited sin, as you and I have inherited sin. He never committed sin, right? You see, we are not a sinner because we committed a sin. We sin because we're born sinners. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus never was born without sin, never committed a sin, which allowed him then to go to the cross and die a death. That was my death, that was your death, the death for all who believe. It was the antidote. He paid the price to be the antidote. But folks, make no mistake about it, it doesn't just blanket cover the world. It doesn't blanket cover the world. Jesus' death, everybody, 100% of every person who's been born except Jesus Christ was born with the fatal sin since Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Every person who's been born was born with the sin virus. Every person, 100% fatal, 100% lethal, body and soul, every person except Jesus, no sin, committed no sin, so his death then could pay the price for my sin, but it doesn't cover the world. It's not like everybody was born sinners and Jesus died, so he took care of it for us. It doesn't cover the world. Who does it cover? Well, we're told by Paul in Romans chapter 10:9-10. He says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's not just, okay, Jesus is Lord. I said it. No, it's a confession that comes out of a changed believing heart. He says it, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember Genesis chapter 3, he said, Genesis chapter 2, he said, when you eat of it, you will die. In Romans 10, he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so the antidote, the cure, doesn't go to the world. It doesn't blanket cover everyone. That would be universalism. There's some people who say, everybody goes to heaven, and he's in a better place now. I know that we say that sometimes, and you hear people say that all the time. But the bottom line is, here's what the Bible says, there is a sin virus that's out there. And there's a real virus now called coronavirus. And we need to be very vigilant about it. We need to be on our guard about it and all those kind of things, all right? And I hope that in this time we use that to say, you know, there is a more lethal virus than all the viruses that's ever been in the history of the world combined. It's the sin virus because 100% of the people are born with it. It's 100% fatal. It kills body and soul. And there is literally no vaccine against it. And that's bad news, but there is an antidote, and that antidote is Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't cover everybody. It's sort of like if I go down to get that shingles vaccine, you know, I can't now. It's a vaccine. It's not an antidote, but it's a vaccine. But for me to go get that vaccine, it's not just going to, they created it, and all of a sudden I get it. I've got the vaccine. I've got to do something, right? I've got to go act upon that, go down there and have that shot or a round of shots to get that vaccine. Well, Jesus died, and his death doesn't just cover everybody in the world. Who does it cover? Those who act upon it, those who believe, those who confess with their mouth because they believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that he was fully man and fully God. I believe he committed no sin. I believe he was murdered on a cross, and by his stripes I am healed, and by his blood I am saved. You see, what happens is Jesus' blood is full of righteous antibodies. Remember, I told you a moment ago that, hang on to that word righteous. His blood is full of righteous antibodies. not sinful antibodies, righteous antibodies, because he had no sin. And when he died, his blood paid the price, his life paid the price for my sin. And when I believe and when you believe, here's what happens. His righteous antibodies from his sinless blood are infused into your soul, and now you are righteous. Listen, it doesn't mean that you act righteous all the time, but it means you're standing before God is righteous. You're right with God. That's what it means when you believe. He gives you Jesus' righteousness, and he takes your sin. It's the great exchange. You get Jesus' righteousness, he gets your sin. You get the cure, Jesus became the disease on the cross. He became sin. That's the gospel, folks. And there's a few responses today. Let me tell you one response. If you do not know Jesus, you've never surrendered your heart, bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, here's what I want you to know. The Bible says you're dead. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. You're spiritually dead. You will die one day. We will all die one day because of sin, but we will not all die spiritually. If you don't know Jesus, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. The Bible says you're dead in your sins and trespasses. Here's what Jesus said one day when Jesus was in a cemetery. A few days after a funeral, he was confronting the sister of one of his friends who died. The guy who died's name was Lazarus. The sister was all tore up. Her brother had died. Jesus was trying to comfort her by giving her a bigger vision. He was using this moment to speak to us about the hope of believing in Jesus when someone physically dies because of sin. And here's what he said, knowing that he's getting ready to bring Lazarus back to life anyway, but he wanted to teach Mary and he wanted to teach us. And here's what he said. Jesus said to her, John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, as she is lamenting the death of her brother, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die physically, yet he shall live. If he die, he didn't say physically, that's what I mean. If when we die physically, if you believe in Jesus, You're alive. You never die, right? You're alive. And he says, and everyone who lives and believes in me lives spiritually and believes in me shall never die spiritually, right? Do you believe this? You see, that's why that sign up here says find life. Every time someone is baptized, we have them to screw a bulb in and we're lighting up the thing because, man, that shows us people are finding life. Life initially means spiritual life. That's only in Jesus because we're dead. We're dead at birth. We're dead, and my mind is so affected by sin. My life, I can't make decisions. So Jesus, when I believe in him, he gives me life. We want to help people find life. Today, if you don't know Jesus, you're dead in your sins and trespasses. You're spiritually dead. If you believe in Jesus, here's the thing to rejoice about, even though you know, if you're alive, even though you die, you live. Isn't that amazing? I mean, death is defeated. We live. We're alive. We want you to find life. And so we would say to you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're dead in your sins and trespasses. That means dead. That means no relationship with God. Sin brings death. It brings death to marriages. It brings death to families. It brings death to dreams. It brings death to businesses. It brings death to friendships. And it brings physical death. And folks, it's spiritual death immediately. Dead, separated from God. The antidote is Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, and you have the sin virus, and there is an antidote. And today I would say to you who don't know Jesus, would you surrender your knee to Jesus? Would you bow your heart to Jesus? Listen. He asked Mary, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that he is the antidote? If you want to know more information about that, or right now, if you want to surrender your life and you're watching online and you want the cure, then text Jesus to the number on the screen, 551-9800. 551-9800. By the way, 615 if you're here in the United States, and if you're outside of the United States, the code is 1, okay? The world code is 1, so it's 1-615-551-9800. If you, man, you're still ravaged by the sin disease and you want the cure, text Jesus. Today, someone will contact you and help you to understand what you need to do in order to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you're in the room. You're like, man, I don't know if I want to have that direct contact going back and I'd have to talk with someone. Totally cool. Understand that. text that number, 551-9800, 615-551-9800. Text that, and we will contact you today. If you are here and want to talk, someone will be back there, okay? If you're online, please text that. Find the cure today. Now, here would be the response for those of you who know Jesus, like myself. You see, the gospel, when we preach the gospel, some people say, well, you know what, that's the gospel, that's for people who don't know Jesus. Obviously it is, but I believe it's just as much for people who know Jesus, because I need to remember what Jesus did, that Jesus is my cure, that he is the antidote, which should cause me to rejoice. I remember that I was dead in my sins and trespasses, and I wasn't good enough to work my way back to God. I didn't do anything by my own effort. I didn't pull myself up the ladder to heaven. It was Jesus and his grace as he died on the cross. By his stripes I am healed, it says in Isaiah. Life is in the blood, it says in Leviticus. And so his blood had the righteous antibodies that was infused into my soul, giving me the antidote to give me life where there was death before. That should remind those of you who are believers that Jesus is who gave me life. He is the life, and I want to rejoice in that. And it should cause us to go out and beat the bushes to try to get people saved. To go out and, man, I mean, just literally, just pound the streets, go live scattered to try to help people find life. We find life, we live sent. We find life, we live sent. You see, here's what happened. We live, by the way, if you're out of our country, we live in the southern part of the United States, and in the Nashville, Tennessee area, we live in the southern part of the United States, and it's traditionally called the Bible Belt because, you know, it's the Mecca. Nashville's the Mecca of, it would be the religious Mecca. There's denominational headquarters for practically, most denominational headquarters are in Nashville, Tennessee. Just, 20 minutes up the street, okay? So here's what happens in the South. You know what I believe? Let me use the word antibodies. I believe many people in the South have gospel antibodies. In other words, they've been exposed to the gospel over and over, and now they sort of have an aversion to it. So I think in the South, you have to help people to understand, I'm really not a Christian before they can become a Christian, because everybody thinks they're a Christian because, you know, they live in a Christian nation, and my mom and dad were saved, and I went to church, and I got baptized. And here's what we need to do. If you believe in Jesus, man, we need to be going out and living sent. And if maybe you think you do know Jesus because you were baptized or whatever, but there's been no change in your heart, then I would say today, bow your knee. Surrender your heart to Jesus and find life. I would say to those who believe, let's get out and live sent and make sure other people find life that Jesus has given us and rejoice about it. Now, here's what we want to do. We're going to, today, you should have received one of these. You came in, Travis held it up and talked about it a while ago. It's what we call communion. And let me tell you why we do it here at Life Point, and the church historically has done it. Because the night before Jesus died, he knew the very next day what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be tortured and ripped, body ripped apart and blood spilled. And so he set aside this memorial, this symbol that we could do in order to remember that he is the only thing that brings salvation. He is the only way to heaven. There's not many ways. It's only Jesus. And he set it aside that night. And that night he met with his disciples in an upper room, and he knew that the next day his body would be broken. And as Isaiah says, 53, I think, in Isaiah, where he says, by his wounds we are healed, by his stripes and his wounds. And he knew that his body would be broken. And so he took bread that night, and he broke it, and he passed it around, and he said, this is my body broken. Immediately they were like, what's he talking about? I don't have a clue. They would get it later. We look back. They were in the midst of it. They would get it later. He was talking about his body that was broken. He passed a cup of wine around. By the way, we use juice here in case anyone would have any, you know, issue with any kind of alcoholism or anything like that. So it's juice. You're safe. So he took wine and he passed it around. And he said, this cup is the my blood of the new covenant. And they were like, what is he talking about? And they would get it. It was a symbol. What he was doing was he was using the broken bread as a symbol of his broken body. By his stripes we are healed. And that wine is a symbol of his blood, because Leviticus says life is in the blood and the price for sin is death. I'm going to die. My blood represents the life that's going to be drained out of me. And in my blood are righteous antibodies that are going to be infused into all who believe, making them righteous before God. And he said, do this as often as you do it to remember me. Do this as often as you do it to remember me. And so right now, I want to pray, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is for you, OK? okay? Obviously, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then that by his stripes have not healed you until you believe and confess, and so this is for believers. Now, let me say this before we pray. If you're home and you can't come to church because of, man, you're maybe a vulnerable or whatever, you can't come. That's not just like, man, I just was tired today or I was gone. But if you can't come to church, we don't want you to miss communion if you long to take it. And so if you will get online at lifepointchurch.org or lifept.org, both those places, one's just shorter, takes you to the same domain, lifept.lifepointchurch.org/communion, there'll be a form that you can fill out. We will come, schedule an appointment to come to you and serve you communion. We do this with our shut-ins. Benny Woods, our senior adult pastor, pastoral care pastor, incredible guy. He does this with our shut-ins. And this time, we will come and serve it with you if you can't be here, okay? So if you would like that, go to LifePT or lifepointchurch.org/communion. We'll schedule an appointment. We'll come and share communion with you. We don't want you to miss either, all right? But right now, I want to pray and I want to thank God for the broken body of Jesus and the blood spilled. And then we're going to take communion together to remember that. Okay, as a symbol. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that in the midst of bad news, there's great news. We're sinners. We're born that way. And God, but it's not like I can blame it on my birth because I've willingly chosen to commit sins that made me a sinner. It would have made me a sinner too. But Lord, I was born a sinner. I've committed sins, and that sin is fatal. It kills my body, but it also kills my soul, separates me from you. And Jesus, today, I just want to come to you and thank you that you are the antidote. You were born of a virgin, no transmission of original sin, inherited sin. You lived a perfect life without sin for 33 years so that your death could be the substitute for my death. So that when I believe in you and confess, I can have life. The night before you were crucified, you gave us a symbol we call communion or the Lord's Supper. And we today, as we take this, we want to thank you for your body that was broken. It's because it is by your stripes and wounds that we are healed. We want to thank you for your blood that was shed because it is life is in the blood, and it's your righteousness that was in your sinless blood that is infused into our soul that is the antidote and cure for the sin virus. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you that, Lord, it is free, but it's not cheap. It costs you everything. It costs you your son. And it's free, but it's not cheap to us because it costs us everything. We can't buy it, but we surrender our life to it. And I pray that today many would get saved. And I pray that today many who are saved would rejoice. We love you and praise you and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, peel that first tab back. And if you'll peel that first tab back, then there's a wafer in there. And that wafer, and it's not much. It's just a little wafer, okay? And so it's not meant to fill you up physically. It's meant to fill you up spiritually as you remember the body of Jesus that was broken. Remember, Isaiah prophesied about that moment. And he said, it's by his wounds and by his stripes that we're healed. And the night Jesus, before he was arrested, before he was crucified, he passed that bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. And he said, eat and remember. So eat that today and remember, Christian. Then if you'll peel back the second, we have these because there's absolutely, we didn't have to pass the basket. We didn't have to, there's nothing that could have gotten in there, all right? And so they're safe. If you'll take the peel the second layer back, and that night Jesus took that wine and he passed it around and he said, this is my blood, the new covenant. The new covenant is when we believe in Jesus. When we believe, we enter into a covenant relationship with him and he keeps us. It cannot be broken. It's in a new covenant. It's in his blood, the righteousness that's applied to you. You get his righteousness. He took your sin to the cross. When you believe, doesn't go to everybody but those who believe. If you believe, drink and remember and rejoice. As I said, if you're watching online and can't be here, let us know. We'll be glad to come to your house And we'll be glad to meet with you, whatever, and serve you in this time. If you're in the room right now, if you're at home right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand, if you will. Let's all stand. And if you're not a believer, if you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, I hope today, here's the thing. Man, it doesn't matter how eloquent I've said it, or it doesn't matter how I've butchered it for you. The Holy Spirit is working on your heart if you're not a believer. And I would ask today that you respond. Text 551-9800, 1615-551-9800. If you're online or if you're in a room or come and see us, we want you to find life today. If you're a believer, I want you to rejoice as you think about the fact that, man, there will be a lot of rejoicing on that day when there is sort of a vaccine and life can sort of go on without fear of this coronavirus. That day will come. Right now, what's even greater is there can be complete freedom in knowing that Jesus has taken away the fatal sin virus from my soul. If he has, let's rejoice right now. Let's remember that. Let's rejoice. Man, church, thank you for being here. Thank you for leaning in online. I hope as you've heard the gospel today that your soul leaves rejoicing as you go and live sin so other people can find life.